Growing a network is extremely important because it's a great way in which you can grow your reach, expand your potential people you could touch. And that has helped me from a standpoint of broadcasting out a message, but it's also helped me reach some of the right people to potentially get on the show with me.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. This episode's going to be a little bit different because usually, you know how we do, every even or every odd number is either solo or an interview. For the next couple of episodes, probably like four of them, I'm going to actually push out interview episodes during solo episode days, only because we have so many extra interview episodes that are going all the way past the end of the year. And so I want to bring you that great content, and I'll take a break from the solos just for a few weeks and we'll jump right back in. So this interview, although it's supposed to be a solo episode, it's going to be an interview episode. So let's dive in and you can get the value that this guest has.
What's up, podcaster? It is your host, Adam A. Adams, Triple A. And I'm Steve. Is your middle name an S also? I want to be with Triple S.
No, it's SLS, unfortunately.
SLS. Yeah. Adam A and SLS. We are going to be talking a little bit about how you can connect with other people. Steve is the Master Connector. His show is Master Connector Show. And we're going to go into a little bit of his background. He focuses a lot on YouTube. And one of the things he focuses on is connecting with people. So I want to find out, how does he do that and how can it help you be a better podcaster or maybe just grow your company because of your podcast, doing things the way he does them? I've been already impressed with some of the ways that he has reached out to me and met me and reached back out and connected with me on LinkedIn. So I think you're going to learn a couple tips, tricks, and strategies. As we record, he's 78 episodes in on the podcast, The Master Connector Show. I keep saying The Master Connector Show, but the word the isn't in there. I'm just saying Master Connector Show is what I should say. So we'll actually link that into the show notes as well. And finally, Steve's bio is in the show notes. So if you want to go ahead and read that, check that out, go down. Steve, you started, like, I think it was November of 20. So it's been about 2 years into your journey. Tell me what's been happening so far, and then we'll learn more about you and how we can master connect ourselves.
I appreciate it. It's great to be out here with you, Adam. Yeah. So what happened is I've grown a pretty large network, especially on LinkedIn. That's been my focus. I think I'm up to, at this point, 21,000 connections on LinkedIn, which, you know, if you're on TikTok or Instagram, that's like piddly numbers, but on LinkedIn, it's pretty good numbers. And at one point I found out they were going to be allowing people to go LinkedIn Live, just like YouTube Live and Instagram Live. And I decided I'll just throw my name in the hat and I'll just put the application in. And apparently it was really hard to get approved, but 5 weeks later, shockingly, I got approved. So now we started this journey, and I went to a good friend of mine, Cameron. Cameron Toth does a show on YouTube called BizDev Live. And I was always impressed with the show, great content, very network TV production quality. And I told him, you know, my dilemma, that I felt overwhelmed by this whole broadcast thing. And I always thought about doing podcasts also. So he said, hey, let's collaborate. I've been trying for 2 years to get on LinkedIn Live. Let's collaborate. So we partnered up, like you said, November 2020, created the Master Connector Show. We've had amazing guests on our show. We've had Dr. Dre. We've had the author of the book, The Go-Giver, Bob Berg, and some other really cool ex-NFL athletes, former military. It's been wild. And honestly, it's been a great experience. I mean, we shifted the times a few times. We are now finally, we hired some VAs, a group of VAs, and they're actually uploading all of the past episodes onto our Apple podcast as well as Spotify. So we're excited as we start the real podcast journey as well. But it's mostly been live broadcasts, which is crazy. In fact, when I get done with this interview, I'm going to go live today, which is different because, you know, we've had people cancel it, you know, because their kids sick, and in the middle of COVID, we were doing this. So we've had people that, hey, can't make it on the show. And they were our only guest because I got COVID, things like that. But it's been a wild journey for sure.
So that sounds so fun. Like, you've interviewed Bob Berg, Dr. Dre, and the author of The Go-Giver. If you had to just pick one, just one episode that was your favorite interview that you've done, who would that be and why?
You know, it varies all over the board. I mean, we've had a lot of great interviews. I could probably pick out the ones that I didn't like so much, but like every episode, I think, is just the best. You know, it's crazy. And it's just the way I feel, you know, because we just keep getting better in terms of what we're doing, honing our craft.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Dre was a great episode from a standpoint. It was cool to be on with him. And I found out, you know, in the middle of all that, that there's actually two Dr. Dre's. So just to clarify for your community, there's the Dr. Dre from West Coast, which is, I think he's associated with Beats, and he spells his name slightly different. And it's, I think it's Dre without an accent mark, and it's, and Dr. spelled out. And then there's the Dr. Dre, which is D-R, and then Dre with an accent mark. And he's East Coast, and he's the guy who is on Yo MTV Raps and that personality. So, but he apparently had gotten, because he's pretty overweight, again, two Dr. Dre's, the one on the West Coast has been in great shape. But he got diabetes and wound up losing a leg. And he also became visually impaired, essentially blind. And having him on a live LinkedIn Live video broadcast was interesting in itself, but it was great content. And we really had a great time doing it. We had to do some workarounds. It was a lot of fun. Bob Berg was great. He's got incredible heart. You know, he's a pretty low key guy. So with broadcast, the more energy that comes on to the show, especially if it's live and it's video, it's helpful. So there's, but other shows have been really, so from a name recognition standpoint, Dr. Dre, Bob Berg, those are great. But some of the shows that we've had, I mean, one of the ones I really love was a guy named Scott Ferguson. He goes by Fergie, and he's a former military Navy guy and fellow martial artist like me, and just great charisma, great energy. We had a show on recently with Sean Douglas, another military guy. That's not the theme here, but he brought some really cool stories that he told about some of the experiences off the wire, he called it, I think, if I remember right, and just some cool stuff. So I can't really pinpoint one exactly, but it's been a blast.
Well, sure. How did you get like a couple of your top guests? What was the strategy? Did you have a company that you worked with? Were you already friends with them? Did you pay a whole bunch of money? Like, what was the strategy in order to get, for example, Bob Berg or some of these other authors or rappers on?
I asked. Here's the deal, right? So no, I don't hire anybody. We've been bootstrapped this whole experience. So building out a network and people I connect with, right? I saw at one point I connected with Dr. Dre. I'm like, is this guy legit? So I dug a little deeper. I sent a message. Anyone that I feel like could be a good value on the show, I'll send a message to, a direct message on LinkedIn, if that's the medium I'm on with them. In most cases, that's what it's been. And I just, you know, I have a pre-written out message with a link to some of the other previous shows we've done. And both cases, they said, sure, that'd be great. And I get on a phone call first, not a phone call, Zoom call, ideally, because I really want to make sure that the guest I have on the show really fits with the culture and has the right, I don't know, they just fit with it. We have four pillars to the show. We've got a mission to the show. And I want to make sure that they fit within that. And if there's good synergy, then we book them on official day and time for the show.
Cool.
And that's how we did it. It's just basically straight reach out. So connecting with people, following up with a message, in my case, through LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in and learn how we can connect, how connecting can help our business, how the podcast can amplify that. And I'm going to turn it over. I'll ask questions as we go, but I want you to just begin at that point where you kind of see is a good beginning for helping us to be better connectors, especially through a podcast.
So I first need to tell you, there'll be a bio, I'm sure, like you said, about me. But for those listening who haven't had a chance to read the bio, I grew up shy and introverted, picked on, bullied, learning disabled, dyslexic, really low self-esteem. I put a post out today and I'm like, you know, I think about who I was and where I've come. It's just crazy. So if, and again, broadcast, shy introverted, broadcast, it's like, it doesn't compute. It's like my brain short circuits sometimes, right? So I really, you know, anyone can do it. My background, born and raised in the Bronx. My dad was an entrepreneur. I grew up around the family business. He dissuaded me from going into that. So I wound up going into advertising marketing. went to high school and college for that, got out, couldn't get a job, started a company, and had an illustrious career in advertising and marketing for quite a while. Transitioned into technology, then consulting, along the way, as I alluded to, a couple of black belts, my wife's a black belt as well, so life's interesting in our household. And then eventually kind of moved into sort of the consulting world and do speaking engagements. I've got the LinkedIn Live broadcast, and obviously I'm in the process of writing a book as well. So there's a lot on my plate. But the reason I tell you all that is because it's been amazing. First of all, I've grown into becoming this master connector they speak about, that they call me, right? And I've embraced it. And so some of the things I could tell you is that growing a network, I believe, is extremely important, because I have a lot of people that they come back to me and they say, well, I don't know. And especially on LinkedIn, right? That's a big area where I tend to live. People are like, well, why would I have connect with people that I don't know? Which I think is kind of short-sighted, right? If you want to have a broad reach, don't you want to be able to reach as many people as you can? So I've made an effort to continuously grow my connections, grow my network. I do it organically through living my life. If I meet somebody on the line at a Starbucks, I'll start a conversation and it might lead to a new connection, a new, you know, exchanging contact information, connecting with them on LinkedIn or whatever. Or I'll do it through social media, just continually on purpose, growing my connections and network that way. And I think it's a great way in which you can, again, grow your reach, expand your potential people you could touch. And then it's helped me from a standpoint of broadcasting out a message, but it's also helped me reach some of the right people to potentially get on the show with me. So not sure if I answered your question, but that's kind of my perspective.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing that it was an uphill battle for you. I'm dyslexic as well, by the way. So I feel for you. I know what that is like. And definitely grew up more shy and introverted, and something changed. And for me, it was like, I knew that growing a business needed this. Gary Vaynerchuk once said, if you don't have a thought leadership platform by 2022, you will lose in business. And it's already 2023 now. And so he's like, if you don't have this, you're going to lose in business. And back in 2016, when I heard that, I was like, F, I'm shy, I'm introverted, I'm scared to be in front. I don't know if I want the limelight or the leadership of running a meetup group, a conference, or a podcast, but I decided to do it and it's worked out for me. And you went on to mention that some of the things that it's been doing for you to kind of reach out and open up and have conversations at Starbucks and reach out to new people on LinkedIn, that it expands your reach. And I'm thinking to myself, what does expanding your reach do? If the listener's like, well, okay, why does that matter? What's in it for me? Why would I care? Now I'm shy and introverted and just know 1,000 people more. What is that going to do differently? And you started to share some of the benefits, one of those being that you're getting people on your podcast. But I want to ask the question, so what? What is it doing for you to have people on your podcast or to know 21,000 people instead of 21 people? Why should we follow in your footsteps? And then maybe after the why, we can talk about the how.
Sure. I love it. Great book, Simon Sinek, Start With Why, right? You always want to start with why. I love it. Yeah. So number one, from a standpoint of credibility in business, right? So if you have, number one, a large following, large connections, the first thing typically when you outreach to somebody, maybe it's in a business development role and we all are selling, right? I mean, I got married. I had to sell to get married, right? So if you're reaching out, someone often will Google you, they'll go on LinkedIn, they'll see what you're about. So if you look legit, that's one thing, right? Another thing is they're going to take you more seriously if you're connected with some people that are in their network that are pretty high level, right? Some peers are there. So the larger your network, the larger the opportunity to be connected with somebody who's maybe a peer of them. And that might be like, it's that sort of fear of loss factor, right? It's like, well, you know, my other peers, three other peers are connected with him. Maybe I need to be connected with him as well, right? So there's that piece of it, right? Also, you know, in terms of business development, right, if you are trying to reach out to somebody, and again, if you own a business, the same thing applies, business development, right? You're trying to reach somebody and you're already connected with them, you've got another means in which you can connect with them, right? I found that more people are apt to be on their phone on LinkedIn than they are looking at their emails, work-related emails. So there's a better chance if you instant, you know, direct message them on a platform like LinkedIn of reaching them and getting to communicate with them versus through just trying to email them or call them or whatever. The other piece of it is if you are trying to reach that person specifically, you have an opportunity to put out content that they're more than likely going to see. And if you're very strategic about it, like I am, you're going to put out content regularly every day. And again, it doesn't have to be. At one point, it was just once a week for me. I was doing my Fired Up Friday Master Connector tips every Friday. I do a video, right? But people get to see you and they got to see and learn a little bit about what you're about. So if and when you do reach out to them, they're more likely to take your call, take you seriously, right? I also use the platform as a way of bringing something to the table. So in other words, when I'm going to talk to somebody, I basically say, hey, I maybe I'll add value in the sense that I've had this large network behind me. Maybe I can make some connections. Again, I'm not going to just do it randomly. I need to know that you're a good person. You're a decent dude, right? And I like you and I trust you. And because I'm not going to just give anyone referrals because they just ask. But there's that piece that you could bring to the table, that credibility. So I believe having a large network is a big piece of the success that I've been able to glean in terms of business, especially as of late.
I'm taking some notes and I've got six things and we'll see what you think of them. I've got six pieces to the why should I do this? Why does it matter? Why does 21K followers on LinkedIn matter? Why does having people on my podcast matter? And here's what I've got. You said number one, and this seems like one of the biggest ones, is its credibility. It builds your credibility, authority, and your searchability. So this way, if somebody wants to say, hey, who is Steve? Should I follow Steve? They'll find you really, really easily because you have that network. You've got, you're on those social media platforms. Number two is the peer connections. It can help you to be able to connect with the right people that you want to connect with because you're already friends with their friends. Number three was the private message works better than emails or phone calls. It's a little bit more personal and currently fewer people are doing it. So it's working really well. Number four that I got from you was just putting out strategic content. And I put in big capital letters, value. So now you have shareable content. Now people can say, oh, hey, you should listen to this because Steve's dropping value frequently on a regular basis. And there people are, can talk about you when you're not even in the room and in a good way. So you're growing your authority just by being able to put that content. And it's amplified because you have that many more connections. The fifth one that I wrote down that I kind of was getting from you is those connections, the value that you're dropping, the content, all of this encompasses the know, like, trust factor. So people are going to know you, they're going to like you, they're going to trust you because they know who you are, they see you everywhere, you're on this bigger platform. So that content adds value to them. And they're probably going to do something about it, or some percentage of them will. And so that could directly affect your pocketbook and the amount of clients or things that you sell because you have that many people. And the last one that I put, it's like value slash reciprocity. It's those referrals that you were talking about. And you know what? Part of this with these referrals, because you mentioned something like, I'm not just going to send you to everybody. I've got to know if I trust you. Mm-hmm. It also builds some type of psychological, like, how do you say it? Somebody needs to almost prove themselves to you in a way. Yeah. They're like, oh, I want that. And now they're thinking of it backwards, kind of like you've got the power, you've got the authority and they want to win you over. And so they're going to show you. Yeah. But also they're getting that reciprocity. They're getting that value. And I think they're going to somehow reciprocate it by maybe putting you in touch with who they think you should be in touch with. So I got a ton of value. And I want to get to the how do we do it, because I did it wrong. I got up to 45,000 LinkedIn connections.
No kidding.
And then LinkedIn would not let me send a single other request. I could no longer send a request. And I think they blocked me indefinitely. from trying to connect with people. Well, I specifically have their email or their phone number, and then I could reach out to somebody, but it blocked me completely. And so here I was growing it. And the two truths behind this is with 45,000, I didn't have a whole bunch of traction anyway, but I wasn't putting out the content like you. But with 45,000, and then all of a sudden it wouldn't let me try to reach out to anybody. And so it basically shut me down. So I started a completely new profile. I don't know. I probably have like 5,000, 4,000 connections now, but it was. So
you say they shut you down, Adam. Did it literally not let you send a message to those 4,500 people, or you couldn't connect with more people?
No, the two things I think that were happening, the big one is that I couldn't try to connection request a new person without their email address. That was one. Okay. And so I was really slowed down, even when I knew somebody, but just didn't know their email. And I just wanted to add them. I could search for them, but LinkedIn would not show me the connect button. I would have to go and find it in a special way. And then it would say, you've been blocked from asking people to connect without their email. Please prove that you actually know this person, because basically what I had proven is that I was just trying to be friends with all of these people. Sure. And I guess a bunch of them didn't know me. And so they click on the button that says, they say, no, I don't want to connect with Adam Adams. And no, I don't know him because he just randomly sent me this.
Right.
So I did it wrong. And the point is that I had to, in order to start connecting with the right people, I had to shut down that old profile and start a new profile, but with a totally different email address, because they wouldn't let me start a new one with the same email address. And so I jumped back on, and now my LinkedIn's been growing much, much slower, and I'm scared to ever get shut down. And so I want to kind of get some tactics, or what the strategy that you've implemented that's allowed you to get to 21,000. And as I understand it, I could be wrong on this, you have not gotten blocked from requesting new people. Is that right?
Yes and no. So there's been times where, you know, LinkedIn now, and they've made some multiple changes. I don't know how long ago the 45,000 shutdown happened for you, but I believe there's
3 years almost. Two.
Okay.
Or three.
So I think right now, I believe once you hit 30,000, I don't think you're able to get any further connect requests. I think you're locked up for connections over 30,000 done.
Oh, okay.
So I believe is the case. I don't know what it was 3 years ago. Maybe it was more, but I believe that's the case. So that's one limitation. However, you could have unlimited followers. You just can't have. So some people I've heard is what they do is they basically unconnect with some people that they don't need or don't feel would be valuable for them. And then they freeze up some space to get the right 30,000. I was blocked a few times because there was a period where LinkedIn was just allowing you to do connect requests, almost as many as you want. Then they got smart. I think it happened in the middle of the pandemic. And they basically started to only allow you to do, I think, between about 120 to 150 connect requests a week. And I would push the envelope and then I get blocked, if you will. And then usually it was like a little temporary jail for like a day and a half.
Can I interrupt with a follow-up question real quick?
Sure, please.
When you're doing these 150, is it you personally, or is there a system that helps you to be able to connect with 150?
Back then it was me personally doing it. I have a tool that I work with now.
Okay.
And gets me more than 150. I'll just say it like that. A lot.
Okay.
More.
Cool.
But back then it was 150 manually, and you get shut down, and then you wait for a few days, like, you know, they limit you, and then they open it back up again, and then you can do it. And no, so I found if you're doing it all at once from the same IP address, they don't like that. They think it's a bot. So if you can mix it up, spread it out, make sure you maybe change, go from your phone to your computer. Now it's a different IP address. You can get away with a little bit more, but that's sort of a limitation. They got savvy about it, and they wanted, because there's a lot of, you know, software tools that are doing it, and they're bots, right? That are just doing it for people. So that's kind of what I could suggest. The other thing is, if you've got a good profile that shows you add value, you look legit. You know, like I get sometimes people reach out to me and they've got zero work history and they've got a picture that probably looks like they grabbed something off of Google and it looks like it's a scammy kind of situation. You know, that's the extreme. So the more your profile looks legit, the better chance you won't get people that hit that I don't know this person button. Just they might not accept it, but they won't hit that button, if you will. Mm. And again, I think also in most cases, if three or four other people know you, mutual connections, there's more chance. And you could even put in your messaging, you know, without just hitting the connect button, which is most of the time what I do. But you could put in your messaging saying, hey, I know we had some mutual connections. I thought it'd be valuable for us to connect. So now at least there's some reason why you're connecting with them, not just a generic thing.
Okay. Two quick questions on this. First and foremost, when you're sending connection requests to the people that you want to connect with, are you intentionally sending a personal message, like some type of connection request message, along with just clicking the connection button?
For years and years, I did the generic click the button. Now, because I have a tool that I'm able to use and it doesn't require me any extra effort, I do have a little of a message. And the message is pretty much, you know, I noticed, you know, I thought it'd be great to connect. We have some mutual connections or something initially that could kind of, hey, I noticed that you're in the event industry. I'm a speaker. I thought it'd be good. I'm pretty well connected. I thought it'd be great for us to connect. But I could use the tool to do that because otherwise I found it time consuming having to do more than just. So clicking the button was easy for me. Click, 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 click.
That's what I used to do on my cell too.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have to add words, it slows it down. But now I have a tool so I can, but I think I hear mixed reviews on it. But honestly, when I get a connect request, if it has words or not, it's really, I'm looking at their profile and that really determines for me if I'm going to connect with them or not, not what they wrote, honestly.
Okay. Well, and I will say that I liked how you messaged that. I play sometimes apples to apples with my kiddos and sometimes Cards Against Humanities with my friends. The point is that with these cards that you get, you usually want to play the card that that person right there is going to pick for, like, because they're into that thing or because you had an inside joke or a personal memory of them going through this thing. And so sometimes you might have a certain word, but you'll play a different card based on who you want to use. And I always call that play to the player. And I thought that was really cool that you said, and I really want to extract that for the listener so that they can use it, is basically like when they're sending it to somebody who has events, it's like you could block out all those people, send it to all the people with events, but it has a little message that says something to the effect of, I'm in this and I could connect you with other people. Let's connect. And last question, is this a paid LinkedIn account? Is the LinkedIn account paid or a free one?
It is now.
Okay.
But for many years, I went without paying for it.
Awesome. Steve, you've been amazing. I really appreciate it. I want you to come back on the show. We've learned so much about how to connect with other people. If you're listening, go to Master Connector Show. The link is in the show notes. Check out Steve's bio. We'll see you on the next episode. Oh, hey, because three of my clients came to me recently looking to find a way to have their podcast make the money instead of cost them money. We put together a resource for some of our clients, and I want to give it to you as well. It's something that did actually seem to help because one of them is now making $2,600 a month. Another one's $4,500 a month. And the third is making between $5,000 and $10,000 each month. And so it's been a resource that's been incredibly valuable to them. It's our sponsor sheet template. It's a template of a sponsor sheet, and it gives you something that you can hand to potential sponsors and hopefully also be making $2,600, $4,500, or between $5,000 and $10,000 regularly each month with your podcast. So this has been a contributing factor to helping all three of those clients turn their podcast into an additional income stream for them. And the way that you can find it is just going to our website, growyourshow.com, but put in /templates, growyourshow.com/templates. And then you can actually download that template and others that could be valuable to your podcasting experience. I'll see you on the next episode.